Welcome back to the No Filter Photography Podcast. I'm your host, Ronnie Cook. Today, I have another special interview from a Northern California photographer. Please help me welcome Mr. Casey. And here is the interview.
Over there, in, you're in San Francisco?
Kinda. I'm about 60 miles east.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, can you tell?
Considered Bay Area, but it's not.
Yeah. Can you tell the audience a little more about yourself?
Yeah, I'm just a portrait photographer, and I consider myself Northern California since I travel a lot. I go through the whole state from Northern California down to LA. You know, I'm a single father, and yeah, I mean, I'm pretty easygoing, pretty simple, nothing too. Too extravagant. I've done photography for a few years, and I've been pretty successful at it. I wouldn't say that I could write a book about how to do it or a step-by-step guide, because every time I run into a mishap, I got to learn and learn something new.
So watch a bunch of YouTube.
Pretty much.
So how did you get into photography?
So back in 2009, I mean, I've always liked photography ever since I was a kid. I always had a camera. But around 2009, I got laid off from doing physical therapy. And I decided to take some of the money and buy a camera. So I bought a Canon Rebel XTI, and just with the kit lens. And I thought I was just going to, you know, learn photography and see if I could get into it. But, you know, I was still young. I was only 29 at the time. So I don't know, I guess I would say the outside influences were telling me to stick with what I was doing. And so I just kind of put the camera up on a shelf, and then I had kids and I paid somebody to do pictures and they were horrible. And so I did them myself. And I just started just taking pictures here and there. And then iPhone came out, and then, you know, started doing pictures that way. And then eventually I just started really loving taking pictures of landscapes. I'd go places and see these, you know, great little spots, especially up in the coast over here in California. And I started just taking pictures with my phone and then with my camera. And then I was a sports therapist. And so what I started doing is started using Instagram to market myself while I had to take pictures. So I started taking pictures of what I was doing, and before and after with my clients, and my clients were saying, wow, you're really good. You'd make me look better than I normally do. And they're like, I should hire you. And so it kind of got in my head. And then I just started slowly.
Hello, Mr. Casey. Yeah, I'm here.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
So I kind of just started doing pictures on the side with people, and then that's just kind of how it just kind of just rolled. I mean, it wasn't really anything like I just chose to go do it. I just kind of rolled into it, and then I started liking it more than I was doing my normal job. So I made a plan to put myself to go full time.
That is awesome. That is awesome. What kind of so you started out with a Rebel T XTI,
like one of the originals.
What kind of gear other gear did you start out with?
Then I went into like a, I don't know, I even created a TikTok of it. I got like a Samsung little like point and shoot type of thing, but you could change the lens on it. It was being marketed at the time on Instagram by Major League Baseball, and I was following them, and they were always using this camera, so I went out and bought it. And I started using that, and then I bought the mirrorless Sony A5100, and that's the one I started using because of the flip-up screen. I could see myself when I was doing the pictures. And then I got into an A6000, and that's the one I started with, taking all the pictures with, was an A6000.
Oh, that's pretty cool. What kind of gear someone starting out to do photography should get, do you think?
It just depends on what you're going to be shooting. I mean, I've talked to guys because they're always asking me and they're telling me, well, I want to do a sports photography. Then you need to really work on just getting a camera that shoots at a fast frame rate and things like that. So it just kind of depends what's your budget. Right now, everybody makes a mirrorless camera right now. So I think going mirrorless, I think it'd be kind of like an oxymoron, so to speak, to kind of go with the older technology. And, you know, everybody would say like a Canon Mark IV or something like that, but that's already being replaced by the mirrorless. And so if you kind of go older, you're going to be constantly trying to catch up. So I went with A6000. That's what I learned to do, is I went with mirrorless because I knew that was going to be the future. So I learned how to use a mirrorless camera and shoot with that. And then I just stuck with Sony because I loved it. But, you know, it doesn't matter the brand. I would just stick with like what's in your budget and find a used one. You do not need to buy new. That was my other thing, would be buying used.
That's another question. So somebody's starting out photography, you know, let's say I'm starting out doing photography and, man, you know, I want to get a camera. Should I go to, you know, Best Buy, Target, Walmart, or whatever, or should I go to a store that sells used cameras that, you know, are used, just about the same thing, but they're just used? You know what I mean?
So I'm in a very rural area, right? So I'm in a very area that has a lot of options for me. I have smaller camera stores, independent camera stores. I have the Best Buys, the Walmarts, the Targets, the Costcos. I have everything at my disposal. I mean, I can buy something online and get it here in 2 days. Mm-hmm. So for me, I was just smart with how I was going to do it. I went and bought open box at Best Buy. Open box at Best Buy is very similar to buying used on B&H or Adorama. And so I would suggest anything like local. Like if you can buy used, go to your local places that if you can trust them, they'll teach you and build a rapport with them. Because when you go in every time to buy gear, they'll know you.
Yes.
That's always important. But if you don't have that option, and your budget is not as large as, you know, some, and online just offers a better option, go online. But B&H and Adorama were my two favorite ones to go on to. I usually stay away from eBay on that sense, but I mean, it's to each their own on that. But yeah, I would definitely, when you're going to buy equipment, either new or used, just kind of go with has the best, I wouldn't say bargain, but best pricing options with the gear that you want. Like you want to be able to buy your lens, your body, and everything from one place. You don't want to have to go from store to store to store. So you want to kind of buy one where you put everything in the cart and whatever gives you the best price is where you're going to go. There's no point of being loyal when you're first starting out.
Yeah, I agree. And if anybody's listening from Texas, I think there is a store. I don't remember the name of it, but there's a store in Austin that I've been wanting to go to, and they actually sell used cameras. And I think they even have some stores have, like you said, you know, classes where they'll teach you how to, you know, use the camera the way that it's supposed to be used. And hopefully it will help you, you know, oh, that, you know, if I do it this way, I can get, you know, the picture look better, and, you know, the landscape picture comes out a heck of a lot better than the way I did it before.
Yeah. We have, there's one here. I know there's one here like, in Berkeley. We had Sammy's camera, but they closed in San Francisco because of COVID. I guess they couldn't stay open or whatever. And usually,
hello, Mr. Cassie. Casey,
my phone keeps closing on you. Sorry. Yeah. So what I would do is, if I was starting out and I already had some gear, but I wanted to upgrade, I'd rent it first to see what I wanted to use. I'd rent a body, I'd rent a lens, and I'd rent the combination of what I was going to own. If I wanted to upgrade my body or upgrade my lens, I rented it. I found it. It's a little bit of an investment. I mean, but if you shoot landscape, it's no big deal for you to go rent one. because usually there's no time frame. If you're going on vacation somewhere, it's nice, ideal to rent, get a little bit of renter's insurance just to make sure. If you're shooting a wedding, and you wanted to have a second body, maybe something you wanted to just upgrade to, it's a nice way to, you know, kind of rent it a couple of days before so you can practice with it. I don't suggest doing that very first time and bring it out of the box and shoot, trying to shoot a wedding on a brand new body, not knowing what you're doing.
Oh yeah.
but there's like a lot of different options. You just gotta, it's all about the person. I mean, I talk to people, they ask me questions all the time. Hey, what kind of lighting should I get? I was like, I don't know. What are you shooting? Cause you know, everything's different, you know? So it's all about the person and what you want. There's plenty of information on YouTube. There's plenty of information on online in general. And there's videos like at the stores I told you online. There's always videos too, where you could see what everybody's doing or what they're, there's like tutorials.
Yes. And if you're looking to get a camera, you, like you said, YouTube it. You know, I YouTube the snot out before I bought my camera, in which I bought a Rebel T6, but it was like a package deal from Best Buy. And I made sure before I bought it, you know, okay, I want to look at this one, the T6. Well, I want to know, I want to see what everybody else is saying about it. And then I did another one and another one. And then I kept on going back to that, the Rebel. And that's what I finally bought. But keep YouTubing everything so you can learn. But so if you buy it and you can't figure it out, or even if watching YouTube, you know, make sure you what is it? Not invest, but like, you know, take the time to make sure, you know, to learn about it before you buy it.
Right. You want to research every aspect of what you are. You're doing. And I did that many times. You know, like I don't shoot on the latest and greatest camera body out there, but I shoot on one that's like, you know, for what I do, the next level up one or two isn't that much better. It's slightly different, but not enough for me to want to go spend another, you know, $2,000 and where I can invest that money back into something else that I want to use or want to get.
Exactly. I agree. So what do you think that has improved in your photography, and what do you think that still needs to be improved?
You know, what's improved, I would say understanding and manipulating the usage of light. I would say that I got lucky from right off the bat, my very first portrait, that I just happened to have a nice overcast, cloudy day, and the lighting was just perfect. Okay. And then the next few sessions that I did had a very similar situation where the lighting was a good situation. But then I ran into some problems where lighting wasn't the greatest situation. I was having difficulties getting what I wanted. So mm-hmm. I learned all the different ways, and I started off doing natural light. So I started off learning everything I could about natural light, and being very fearful like everybody is when learning something new, it took me a while to get into off-camera flash. And when I say a while, I mean, it only took me 9 months, but, you know, it was a big deal for me because I really wanted to do off-camera flash from the very beginning. So once I learned that, and it became a game changer for me. Now what I want to improve on really has to do more on the business aspect of things than the actual photography of things.
So, yeah.
I have clients, I have repeat clients. I just got a new client today, and I want to break into that. She's a artist, she's a musician, and she wants me to design her cover art for her with just photography, not all the graphics and everything with it. But nowadays, everything's digital. You don't have to worry about having it printed or anything like that. So I kind of want to break into that, but that's more on the business side of things of what I want to improve on and being more on the creative side of things. It has nothing to really do with my technique.
Yeah. And like you said, you advertise yourself in the beginning on Instagram, on TikTok or Facebook or whatever. That's free. That's free advertising. So that's something that you can use while you're still trying to make money doing photography. And
yeah, I don't pay for advertising.
Yeah. And then like you, Exactly. And then that's the next thing, the word, you know, the repeat of customers. You might have a customer that you've took portraits two or three times already, and they tell a friend, and it's just like you said, word of mouth. They'll tell a friend, they'll tell their friend, their friend, their friend, and then that's how you get more business. Don't go out to spend money. I mean, yes, you have to make spend money to make money in certain things, but and I believe in photography, it's more word of mouth and advertising, like on TikTok, like I said, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. So, what have you learned since you started doing photography? What have you learned since you started doing photography?
What have I learned? The power of photography. I've learned that it builds a lot of confidence in people. Like, I mean, to be honest, the number one compliment that I get, I call it a compliment, but it's actually the feedback, is when I show my clients their photos, they go, wow, is that really me? You know, and that to me is just, I was like, well, of course it is. I literally showed it to you and you were there. Why wouldn't you think that
right?
You see the same thing I do, right? I mean, but in reality, they don't see it that way because they don't see themselves, you know, necessarily in a flattering light all the time. It's constantly, you know, especially now with social media, but now mostly, you know, I would say women, they really compare themselves either to the earlier version of themselves or to a better angle of themselves or to a 5 pound less version of themselves. And I mean, 5 pounds is not going to be shown in camera. As much as they think it is, it does not get shown.
Or do you get, take a picture from my right side. That's my good side.
Yes. I always ask what side of the face they prefer. and because it is, and I'll tell you what, it has really no way, you know, no bearing on how they look. It is how they carry themselves.
Yes.
When they pose from a certain side, they have more confidence because they know that side is, to them, they feel like they look better. There are also times where I run into somebody who says, oh, well, I don't care. You know, it doesn't bother me what side. So it's okay. But I just did a shoot with twins, and ironically, one twin likes one side and the other twin likes the other side. So it worked out.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, but yeah, they definitely have, you know, they definitely like which side they like and what side they want to be on. And I think some of that has to do with selfies and the angles and everything, but you know, I don't see a difference sometimes. And sometimes I see a difference just in the way they carry themselves.
So doing portraits, how would you, if somebody that's starting out and they have a client coming up this week, say this coming up weekend, and they're worried about, you know, how to, I don't know, angle will be the right word, more like, you know, okay, pose them. How would you, I mean, I know you can't really show over a podcast, but how would you tell that photographer, you know, oh, you should pose them this way or this way, or, you know, that way will be just fine?
Well, so I'm a little unique in this sense because my background is in physiology and kinesiology, my education. So mm-hmm. It's all about how the body moves, and I understand how what's comfortable, what doesn't look good, what does look good. But that's just based off of my education and background. However, posing is still posing, and that is still a learning process. There are plenty of YouTube videos out there to show you about 5 to 10 different types of poses to try. And, you know, you only need three poses, and they're very simple. Posing, it can be very, very simple. It just all depends on what the client wants. You discuss this ahead of time so you can already start brainstorming of what you're going to do. So, like, there are poses that you pose at the beach. There are poses that you pose at the park on the grass. There are poses that you pose if they're walking, if there's a group shot. There's many different types of poses, and you just literally just kind of what I call a shot list. You create a shot list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you create 5 to 10 different shots you want to try to capture with your client. and you literally make a list and you just check it off as you do it. Okay. And then afterwards you decide, you know, figure out which ones were the best. You can even go through them, the pictures before the end of the session. And if you find a pose that you really liked, maybe redo it again, maybe capture it again. Actually, I did a, like the twins that I did, when I did a shoot with them. Right. And I only did four poses with them, but everybody kept on saying, you're telling me you only took four shots. It's like, no, I took 150, 170 of four poses though. I wanted to make sure that I got everything just right. The way I wanted their eyes a certain way. I wanted their look to be a certain way. I wanted them to be, because one of the shots they needed to look surprised or shocked. And I needed their mouth to be open a little bit, not too much. And I always had to make these small little adjustments. But I had a shot list of what I wanted. And I actually only wrote down three. I ended up doing four because I forgot. Well, with the twins, I forgot that I needed to make, I didn't want to do the same pose with each one. So I just let her, I just kind of went with one of my regular poses that I normally do, which is really easy. And it worked out just fine. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you can't really stress out about it and have too much anxiety about it. You do your research, you try to get comfortable, and you could become prepared. And you don't share your shot list with your client if you don't want to. You can, because I think it's important that you kind of go over the poses with them and let them kind of know what you want. Take screenshots. Best thing to do is take screenshots or use Pinterest.
Yes. If
you're looking for a pose. And just save them into a file in your album in there and just say so-and-so's photo shoot in your phone. And you just sit there and you just swipe in and say, I want to do this pose. I want to do this pose. I want to do that pose. I want to do that pose. And then we're going to do this one and this one, and this one. And how I work is a little different. Some people say, okay, go through all 10 of those poses and then they go repeat. I tend to go through one pose at a time. I say, don't move. Don't change anything until I get what I think I need to get. And that's just how I work. I'm different. I don't suggest anybody doing anything my way. You got to go with what works for you. I know a lot of photographers that just like people going through, just letting the client go through all their poses and then make them go through it again and again and again and again. And then they kind of like say, okay, I got one.
Yeah. And kind of like, I agree with you where, you know, go through the poses, you know, go through or not poses, but go one at a time. And if you go through all 10, you know, get what you think that looks best. And then by the time you're to number 10, you don't have to redo it. And I mean, you can redo it. You took a certain amount of pictures each time, but if by the time you get to the last one, you don't have to do, all right, let's take a 5-minute break. We'll redo, you know, 1, 3, 7 and stuff like that. Where if you take more than one and you think you got that pose, you know, that look that you're looking for, you don't have to redo the whole thing, you know?
Right. I'm not that photographer that likes to snap off 500 to 1,000 shots a shoot. I think I average about 250 for a 3-hour shoot.
250 yeah.
for a 3-hour shoot, which isn't a lot at all, but I get what I want. And I also don't, I'm not one of those photographers that I'm not a shoot and burn. So I don't shoot and then try to deliver 50 photos. The maximum that I deliver is 20. If a client wants more, they're more than welcome to it, but I very rarely, you know, I'm not inexpensive, to say the least. So when you get to 20, you're already into about $5,000.
Mm.
So, yeah. You know, for portraits, I feel like unless it's something, a very special event or something special, you know, they're not going to go over that anyway, you know, for the most part. Most of them like to be, it's like, look, everything that you hire me for is going to end up on the wall. I do deal with people who want just digital format pictures, which is a little different. But I try to make them more repetitive. So I kind of make it a little more affordable, a little less, and then I just kind of move on. But again, I don't sit there and shoot a bunch of shots. I get what I want and then I move on and I'm done.
Yeah. So you do portrait photography. What did you start out doing photography, and then how did you get into the portraits?
Well, like I said, though, when I started doing that, I was just doing landscapes. I don't want to get too personal with information, but I didn't have a very supportive significant other spouse at the time of doing photography, but she did support me doing landscapes. I don't think she liked the idea of me shooting women, period. but I mean, at the same time, I was being a sports therapist working on women too. So it was also a little more difficult for her doing that as well. So I just respected her in that sense and just did landscape, but I couldn't figure out how to monetize it. Of course, now I realize you have to be more of an influencer type, and when you to monetize landscaping photography and/or find out ways to sell your prints, but it's really difficult. But so I went and my first job as a shooting people was the congresswoman out here, and for an event, and they hired me because she was a client as a sports therapist.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought me in, and so I started shooting people, and then I posted them to my social media, and then people started saying, oh, you shoot people. And then I started getting more and more inquiries, and I was never doing portraits necessarily like what I do now. It was more like families and engagement. I was just trial and error. It wasn't really like I wasn't charging a lot. I think I was charging $150 and they would get like 10 photos. I wasn't charging a lot for it. And then about February 2019, I asked a girl who I became pretty close with and just said, hey, do you want to, I have this idea. Do you want to try it out? And she said yes. And that was the beginning of my portrait photography. And I just never literally looked back. I mean, I've done weddings, but as of December of last year, it was my last wedding. I will never do a wedding again. You could not pay me enough money to do another wedding.
Oh, I know.
But I don't have anything against that. Somebody else doing them, just this type of what you need to do them, patience. And I'm a control freak, and you need to be a little lax on that because it's all about what the bride wants, or, you know, and it's hard because the last wedding I did, everything got changed around.
Last minute?
Oh, like I didn't even know. I was already walking off to do the bride and groom photos, and she says, no, I need to do, and this was in San Francisco. And she goes, no, I want to do family. I was like, well, the timing of everything, you're not going to get that Golden Gate Bridge in your background because the fog is rolling in. So it's either now or never. She goes, just do these real quick. Just do them real quick. And 30, 45 minutes later, I'm trying to roll down there and trying to set up my lights. And I barely got the bridge in there.
Oh.
And I barely got it. And these photos were being published in the New York Times.
Oh, wow.
So it wasn't like I was like, yeah, it was a lot of pressure on me. And I was like, I don't want that anymore.
Yeah, I did a wedding back in July. And that was my first wedding. I've done a couple clients, and that was my first wedding. And I was nervous. My girlfriend went with me. I remember, the next day, I was like, oh, man, I wanted to do them, you know, after the ceremony. I wanted to, you know, do a little photo shoot right then, and then, you know, do the family, do this. I just got off track, and I mean, she loved the photos, but I wish I'd, you know, planned it a little better than I did that day.
Yeah, and it's hard because, like, weddings, you can't necessarily plan out everything.
No, it's like a spare of a moment kind of deal sometimes where, you know, oh, you know, hey, what if we do it this way instead of doing it that way? Or, you know, hey, can we throw this in, you know, this photo in, our photo idea in, and do it like that. Sometimes it turns out good. Sometimes, you know, it's like, I don't think that's a good photo. So
I've watched so many Taylor Jackson YouTube videos. He's that travel photographer, YouTuber.
Uh-huh.
And he's always just, it's not like, I, to be honest with you, I will say this, and if he hears it, I don't care. I don't think he's that great of a photographer.
Really?
I don't think he's that great of an editor or I just, what I can tell you what he does, he can think on the fly like you wouldn't believe.
Really?
And he is built to shoot weddings because he can just capture the moment at the right amount of time. And he captures these little things, like these little detail shots. And like he just knows what he's doing, the ins and outs of what to shoot for a wedding and what to capture. And he's good at it. And when I say like he's not that good of a photographer, meaning like, you know, if he was able to, like, he's always seeming like he's in a rush, but that's, I guess that's what weddings are. But I have other photographer friends that do weddings, and they seem to do amazing stuff. So maybe there's just time built in, and what he does for his videos are different. But from what I've seen on his videos, he's just an average, normal photographer. He's nothing exceptional, but he does a great job at thinking on the fly.
Oh,
for a wedding, that is important.
Oh yeah, that is very important. So we talked, you said something about your first portrait session. Have you had a bad experience doing a portrait session yet?
Yes. Yeah, of course I have. I mean, yeah, of course everybody has. I mean, there is no such thing of not having a bad session.
Can you go into, if you want to, can you go into a little more detail about it?
Lighting was horrible, horrendous. Harsh lighting, and I wasn't using off-camera flash yet. And the time of day, I've had it where the client was an over 2 hours late, and from what I was trying to shoot versus the timing that I was trying to shoot versus the time they showed up to shoot.
Oh,
was,
wow,
a big difference and stuff as well. And now I can, the off-camera flash, what I've learned covers up for all that mistakes
mm-hmm.
of lighting. And you can, as long as you have a strong enough flash, you can overpower the sun. But even then, the harsh light is still going to dictate what you do and what you're shooting. So you need to be careful. I've had such bad sessions to where I've even refunded the client and said, I'm sorry. And they go, well, I still like the photos. I want them. And they're like, I don't want my money back. Like, they literally, it was like the opposite of what you think would happen was happening.
I want yeah.
my money back. No, they were literally sending it back to me. I Venmoed them back, and they said, Venmo me back. Said, just send me the photos. I don't care.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not kidding you. I could not give them their money. To me, that was like, okay. And that was my mistake, because then it was, they got these photos and they post them and they kind of trashed me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, my comment was, well, I offered to give you your money back. And she says, I didn't want my money back. I wanted high quality photos. I said, well, I wanted my client to show up on time.
Photographer.
So I ran into that about five times. Most of the time now, I've become so much more experienced dealing with that kind of stuff. I was always just trying to do stuff just because I needed to build my portfolio, and also because I mean, it was my way of life. So I wasn't in a place to where, I mean, financially, I was in a place to where I could give them their money back and not worry about it. But at the same time, I also wanted that. I wanted to make, you know, for me as a business person, as an entrepreneur, the ultimate end of the year gross or net profit number is what you want. It's mm-hmm. the highest. Because then that shows to you how well you did. Whether or not, if it's like $20,000 or $50,000 or $70,000, you know, it doesn't really matter what the number is, as long as it was higher than the year previous. And to me, that was my biggest, you know, that was my biggest goal when I did that. And so I learned from that mistakes. And then I started, just now I can reject clients. Now I tell them, if they reach out and they ask me to do a certain shoot and I don't feel like it'd be a good fit, I tell them, no, I don't think so. I'm sorry. Things like that. But yeah, I have run into bad portrait sessions. I have, better knock on some wood, have not run into one this year. To my knowledge, I haven't. I've run into where during, I was doing a senior portrait and one of the looks didn't work at all.
Mm-hmm.
But three of the four looks were great. So the client was happy. but one particular outfit that they wore, which for a senior portrait, I wasn't really approving of as being a father, but you know, the mom said whatever she wanted. Thankfully, it was the most revealing of the outfits, and it was the one that just was not the best lighting. Couldn't get it to look good. And I didn't really want to spend the, and I say this freely, I don't want to spend the hours editing the one photo. You know, if I have to spend 3 hours correcting the lighting and manipulating with dodging and burning and then do all these certain techniques that could take me like an hour, hour and a half, when the client wants 4 or 5 photos from that set, and I just like to completely continue to do it. So I just kind of just threw that set. I just threw that look out and said, oh, this is not a good look. And they were okay with it because they were happy with what they got. And then, you know, for the amount of money that they were paying, it worked out. But outside of that one particular session, but that was, I have not had one for the whole session. I've not had one bad session this year.
That's good.
Session. Yeah. But that's again, experience. And in my 2 years of doing it, I've done almost 300 shoots.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there was no sleep for the wicked.
Right. So do you think, all right, so since you said you've done 300 shoots, you have 300 shoots underneath your belt. The first, I don't know, 20, do you think that it was the most stressful, or is it still stressful after 300?
I'm stressed every time. I get anxious every time. I'm my own worst critic. I will beat myself up because I didn't get both eyes tack sharp. I mean, when I say tack sharp, where you could see the iris and you could see, you know, everything in the eye, you can see the veins and the whites of the eye. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I talk about, like, that's what kind of sharpness I was going for. And I got it only one eye, not the other. And I'm sitting there just throwing my hands up in the air. You know what my client does?
Where they
zoom way back out to where the photo is normally and say, well, I can't see what you're talking about. Because I'm zooming in about 500%, and, you know, to 700%. And they're going, you can't see that. Even if I printed it up like 30 by 30, you're not going to be able to see it. You know, and so that is the truth. But like I said, I'm my own worst critic. I still, every time I shoot, I'm confident in my ability that I'm one of the best portrait photographers around. I don't want to say in the world, because there's really some great people, but I think some of it has to do with editing. I like to say that I could take my shots out of camera and give them to my client, and they would be just as happy as with them if they were edited. Although I've gotten so much better at editing, I can definitely see how that's not going to work out either. But yeah, I definitely feel like when I go for a shoot, I still have nervous. I still get nervous. I still get anxious. I still want to make sure that I don't screw it up. I want my clients to be 100% happy. I want them to be proud that they hired me. It's every client with me is like my first client.
Yeah. It's, you know, you put more pressure on yourself because you're actually instant. You know, I do a lot of landscape like you did in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do a lot of landscape, so it really, I mean, there's pressure, you know, because you want to post it on Instagram and you want to edit to good and make sure everything's perfect. But it's more pressure when you do a session of a portrait session, because you want to, like you said, you want to make sure that client is happy with the, you know, the photos. Lights all of them, or, you know, lights the majority of them, but it's just still have that pressure. You know, you want to do a good job for that client.
Right.
So, as speaking of editing, what do you use to edit your photos?
So I've tried a lot of different, I edit solely on my iPad. So I'm a Lightroom Affinity Photo guy. So mm-hmm. I go to Lightroom as my raw editor. And I go to Affinity Photo to do any of my touch-up, retouch-up. I will use Photoshop Mobile for certain things and then put it back into Lightroom, send it over to Affinity. I have edited on my desktop with Capture One, with another one. a couple other programs, and really nothing really just works for me. My iPad works for me because I could take it everywhere. I can use my pencil. I could do what I need to do for what I do and for what the type of photography that I do and the editing that I do. It's what works well for me. I will say that Capture One is far way over and beyond better than Lightroom in a lot of ways. But until they come up with a mobile version of it, which they should be able to, I don't know why they don't.
Right.
I'm still sticking with Lightroom. And that's in an affinity because just right now, Photoshop mobile or Photoshop for the iPad isn't even close to what Photoshop is on the desktop.
Really?
It's literally night and day. As much as they say that you could do all this stuff with it, you can do a lot more than you used to, but you cannot do as much, nearly as much as you want to, as you do on the actual desktop. And I have an iPad Pro. So this is not like the regular iPad. It's an iPad Pro. This thing's a beast. It's as powerful as any laptop.
Yes, that's what I'm using right now for this interview.
So, yeah, it is by far, you know, a great tool. I like Affinity, but it does lack in a lot of ways that sometimes handcuffs me a little bit of what I can and can't do, especially when I'm trying to do it, like when I've done some fun stuff like a composite. The Affinity Photo just cannot, the software itself cannot handle what I'm trying to do sometimes. And that's unfortunate.
I do agree with you. Using the iPad, if you can, so if anybody that's listening, if you can afford it, I would get it. Just because you can get a little connector and you can put your card in there after you do a photo shoot, and if your client that wants to see the photos, instead of doing it on your camera, you can bring them up on your iPad, and it's travel, or you can, you know, if you're 2 hours away from home and the client really wants to see them right after you take the photos, it's easy to access.
That's actually what I do with my clients. My clients get to choose their photos directly right after, which ones they're going to buy before edited. Now they get to see a sample of what my edits look like. They even get to see a sample of the prints of what they're going to get, but they choose right then and there. And they ask, I got to choose now. It's like, well, yeah, because you know, if you want me to edit out of the 20 photos that you choose, and then you're going to decide how many you're going to want, you know, I was like, it's a lot of time on me, and a lot of time is money. And I figured I can get these done faster and quicker if I already know what you want, send it off to the printer, get it shipped to you, and it's done and easy, rather than you waiting 4 to 6 weeks. Now you're only waiting 2 weeks.
Yes.
And so I actually use the Files app, and when they like the photo, I automatically create a folder for them. It goes into my folder. It gets loaded into Lightroom right away.
That's even better.
So it goes directly from them choosing the photo into a folder for the raw saved, and then into the Lightroom, and goes right into Lightroom right away. And I sort everything by import date.
Mm.
So everything's done in a row. And then I take those files and put them into a folder on the side with the client's name, and then everything's sorted by year. And I use Lightroom mobile, everything's in the cloud. I pay for it. I probably at some point when I get to enough photos, I will need to delete them, delete some photos from the Lightroom. But until then, I'll use that. but we'll see. But yeah, that to me, being for my job, I'm mobile. I don't have a studio. I mean, I do kind of use my home for a studio. I am looking into getting a studio, but even then, I think part of what makes me so unique is the fact that I travel. Like I have people from, I had somebody from Florida today message me saying, I love your photos. Do you ever make it out to Florida? And I'm like, well, yeah, if you can gather up four of your friends, or if I could book four clients out there, I'll tell you when I'm going to go out there. I plan it out ahead of time. Now, some people have asked me, can I come out in 3 weeks? It's like, look, if I'm not even in the area, you know, it's not worth it for me to go out there for one shoot. But if you can get five shoots for me, if you want to get some of your friends in together and do it, I'll be out there, and I can be out there in 3 weeks. it's hard. I usually try to plan those out like 2 or 3 months out in advance. But again, because I'm mobile and it's my iPad and they love it and the screen's big. It's a 12-inch screen, so you get to see the full size of the photo. I get to zoom in. They get to see all of it. And, you know, it's just better to be more of a customer service base for me.
Yeah, that's true. What's the furthest you've traveled for a photo shoot?
What's the furthest?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
miles wise, time wise, or just
and like distance, time, or it doesn't really matter.
I've gone 2 states over. So what is that? Utah, Nevada through Utah. Because I was going. I hit two shoots in through Nevada, then I got to Salt Lake City and did one.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I drive, so I don't fly. everybody goes, what? I was like, well, I will start flying if I have to go far, a little bit further. I have about 5 to 6 people in Texas that want me to come down there and shoot. But due to COVID, I didn't go last year.
Because
I got tired of what was open, what wasn't open, what was going to happen. I was like, I can't. I mean, it was too hard for me, and I meant mostly with Kim California, not so much Texas. It was too hard for me because I just needed to do that. So this year I didn't do that because I got so busy here. But I went down to LA a lot, and so for me that's a 5-6 hour drive.
Oh, if you don't mind me asking, what part of Texas?
They were Austin.
Austin, Dallas, okay.
Austin, Dallas, College Station, San Antonio. And then there was actually a couple in Arkansas, too.
Well, if you ever make it this way, I live in College Station. So if you ever make it this way, we got to go do it. Oh, I don't know about all that.
Oh, you UT then, huh?
Yes, sir. But...
Yeah, my kid's mom, my ex, is a PhD graduate from college, from Texas A&M, and a former professor there. So I learned all about Texas A&M.
Yeah, it's all right around here. But if you ever make it, like I said, if you ever make it this way, we should get together and we can go take pictures around here.
Most definitely, yeah, because there's a girl that's there right now that that she says there, and then there's also Austin, but she goes to College Station all the time. That's where she said she wanted to do a few shoots. I think she's got family there. And, you know, so that's one of the places I plan on going anyway. So yeah, most definitely I will, I'll let you know.
Yes, sir. So if, you know, there's somebody that's wanting to start out doing photography. Do you have any tips for them? That wants, you know, somebody that wants to start out,
practice, that's the best way to do it. Like when I say I did 300 shoots, they were not all paid. I would say about 200 of them were not paid. That tells you how much work I did for free to learn my craft. And when I say 200 of them were not free, even some of them, I still do some now that are what I call creative shoots, where I just grab somebody and says, hey, I got this idea. And I do that shoot and I post it and then they post it. And guess what? I get all their friends wanting to shoot with me.
Exactly. Like what we talked about earlier, free advertisement.
It's free advertising, right? But again, it was because I wanted to do the shoot, though. It wasn't that I gave them only the photos that I was going to edit. That was it. We chose together which ones we liked, but mostly they just took my judgment. I just wanted to make sure that they were okay with it because, I mean, ultimately, whatever I post of them is, you know, it's for them. But I do a lot of, whenever I do something creative, that's what I do for free. But again, then it leads into more paid stuff. And it did, like it does. I won't lie about that. So I've done over 300 shoots, but I've probably done about, I think I did it the other day. It was like 117, 118 paid shoots.
Oh, wow. And
since I went full time, which was November 2019. So about 2 years ago. But then you got to count COVID. It was in there.
Yeah. That kind of messed up for everybody.
A lot of things. Yeah. That messed up a lot of things. So unfortunately, and I only did like 5 shoots in the 2019 time where it was paid. And then this year has been a lot more, obviously.
Yeah.
But the end of last year was a lot too.
Last year, I think a lot of photographers had to come up with the creative shoots around the house or like with your kids or with family because they couldn't go out and shoot portraits of other people.
I still was.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I was.
Oh.
I was safe about it. But, I would only shoot with people that I knew that weren't going out and, you know, being irresponsible. But at the same time, here, like, you know, they said that we had to be indoors, and I didn't do it. I didn't listen to them. I'm free. I don't care. They can't do anything about it now. But
right,
I went out and did my shoots. I did what I wanted to do. I still went out and shot. It is. You know, and I still charged. I just didn't charge as much, but people were still getting money anyway. So why not?
Yeah.
And then I will say that toward the end of 2020, I got bombarded with shoots. Like people were just like, okay, I want to do family shoots because we're open now. I want to do them. And it was just like craziness. It's not like it is. It's not, this year's not the same.
Yeah. Have you, were you able to turn, did you turn down a lot of clients when it about 2000, the end of 2020?
No, I took on as many as I could. It wore me out. I mean, I was doing 2 shoots in a day.
Oh, wow.
Thanksgiving weekend. I did 2 shoots on a Friday. I did 2 shoots on a Saturday. I did 2 shoots on a Monday. I mean, on a Sunday, and then I did a shoot on a Monday. So how many was that? I did like 7 shoots inside of 4 days.
That's what it sounded like. You were a busy, busy man.
Yes, I was. and then the following weekend after that, I did that wedding that I was talking about.
Oh, your favorite.
But I will say this. Okay. So as a business person, I did as much as I could during the busiest time. And even though I was able to literally, and I still did shoots. I think my last shoot of 2020 was December 18th.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have to do any shoots. I didn't do another shoot till January 19th. I literally was able to take a month off and not even worry about it. And I will say this, I didn't need to make any money until March.
That's awesome.
Because of how much, but you don't do that. You keep working.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just in case who knows, right? If we got shut back down again or whatever.
Exactly.
So yeah. So I did that. Now this year, I'm obviously charging 3 times as much as I was last year. 3 times as much. Not twice as much. I didn't double my pricing. I tripled it.
So, okay. How do you price your photo shoots, if you don't mind me asking? For somebody that's starting out that wants to do portrait or, well, I wouldn't say a wedding, but mainly portrait, family pictures, senior, how would you price out your photos?
God, that's a tough question. I just charged for my time at first, how much time it would take for me to get there, how much time for me to shoot, how much time for me to edit per photo. When I ran my own sports therapy clinic, that was the same thing. I ended up charging $180 an hour because of how good I was, but it wasn't without, it wasn't without figuring out what my time was worth. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I did all that. Now I figure now that my work is considered somewhat artistic in a way, you know, to people is art. I do charge for singular photos $275 per photo. But I have packages, so what I do is I build it to where if you only want to buy one or two photos, it's going to cost you $550 just for the photos.
Mm-hmm.
For two photos. But if you bought six, it's going to cost you $700.
Yeah.
So why not? You know what I mean? So if you're going to make it worth my time, so to speak. Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. So and
that's how I figured it out.
But for, okay. If anybody that's listening that is starting out, don't, to me, you can't, you know, you're just starting out and you want to go out and do a family or a portrait of your first one. You can't really charge $500 or $700 for, I mean, you could, but.
You could. No. I should have charged more when I started because I was better than some people that were doing it for 5 years.
Yeah.
I was just naturally better at it. However, I thought, and I feel this way, you charge what you feel is what your time is worth. Now, if I'm going to spend an hour or two shooting with you, I figured it's not really time-wise for me. It's not really worth more than, and out here in California in the Bay Area, it's very expensive to live, but it's not worth more than $40 an hour to pay me. I don't feel like what I'm doing is worth more than $40 an hour just to shoot the photo,
mm-hmm.
you know, just to take the picture. Okay. So I figured my time was worth $40 an hour. So I came up with $150 for 10 photos. Now at the time I was just editing with a Lightroom preset. I wasn't doing any retouching. I wasn't doing a whole lot to editing. So I would literally take me to do 10 photos. I would maybe 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So all in all, I was charging for about 4 hours of my time. So does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
So I found out what I felt, what I was comfortable making with per hour. And then I figured out how long it would take me to do what that was. And then that's with that. Now, was I undercharging? Yes. But at the same time, I was also getting experience, building my portfolio. So that's where I feel like if you could do it, I did a little bit of, I call it backwards. I started charging right off the bat. And
mm-hmm.
then I stopped for about four, because I was still doing my sports therapy. So I was already having income coming in. So it wasn't about the money for me. Then in early 2019, when I started, I took 6 months where I didn't charge to do any shoots. I just shot and shot and shot. And asked as many people to shoot if they wanted to and learned and got better and better and better and just kept shooting.
Exactly. That's what I was going about to say. Do, like you said earlier, do, you know, a couple free ones, not just a couple, a lot of free ones before you start charging. So you know how long it takes you to shoot, how long it takes you to edit and to put everything together so you can say, okay, it takes me 4 hours to do, or, you know, a couple hours to edit, a couple hours to do to do the photo shoot. Okay, I can charge 150. I can charge 200, 500, or whatever much you want to charge.
Right. The other thing is I would ask friends and family to be guinea pigs. Because if you ask a Instagram model, so to speak, maybe trying to start out as well, build her portfolio, and if she doesn't like it, you know, and that's going to happen, it's going to, and then she starts to blow up by working with other photographers, it's going to be your reputation that gets like not well known. So in my experience, I will say this: if you want to learn, pay somebody to teach you.
Yes.
Danny Batista is really good at that. He's really good about, he's got a website that teaches you, but he gives you one-on-ones. He's not the only one that does it, but he does one-on-ones and his tutorials that he does with you. He's there with you. He brings a model for you. He teaches you how he shoots, and then he teaches you how he edits, and he sets you up for success.
Yes. Well, I don't know. I'll have to check him out. But if also
he's in Texas.
Oh, really? Huh.
He's in San Antonio, is where he's based out of.
And also, I think if you're able to, not many photographers will do it, but if you're able to, reach out to one that's near you and say, hey, can I tag along and, you know, learn how to do a portrait? You know, tag along with them, see how they do it. And, I mean, that would also help, too.
Yes, it does. Some photographers, you know, I'll be honest with you, I get asked this all the time for people to tag along. I'm hesitant because of the kind of photography that I do a lot of, which is a lot of boudoir or implied, and it's pretty risque, and I'm protecting my clients mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And because they trust me, it's the trust is not easy to build. The reputation is easily tarnished with one little mishap and one false word that you say or anything.
Yes.
And you cannot, it's not really worth it to risk it. I have had guys, plenty of mostly male photographers, reach out and ask me if they can come tag along. And I have said, I'd rather just set up a shoot for me to teach you.
Yeah.
And that's I'd rather do that. I'd rather them just, look, let me find a shoot, an opportunity for you to learn. Then you come along to one of my clients' shoots and you watch how I do everything, because I don't have a problem teaching you that. I have the issue with, I don't know you. And until I know you better, that maybe we just set something up to where you learn how to do a shoot with like the way I do it. And if you want to continue on, you know, because I always bring an assistant usually anyway, so it's not a big deal. So, you know, I don't mind learning, getting more and more, you know, assistants, especially if they have the knowledge of photography. That's so important.
Yeah. That's one of them. Yeah, I would say that too. So, but man, it's been awesome being able to talk to you about photography and how you got started. Is there any, do you have an Instagram or a Facebook or a TikTok that the audience can go check out more of your work?
Yeah, my Instagram is at Casey, Casey, period, photo, FOTO. And my TikTok is the same.
Awesome. Man, I appreciate you.
It is amazing getting to talk to all kinds of different photographers and getting to hear how they got started doing photography. I hope this inspires you to pick up a camera or even take out your cell phone and go out and take some pictures. Once again, I want to leave you with a quote from Jay. If you are out there shooting, there things will happen for you. If you're not out there, you'll only hear about it. I want you to stop and think about that quote. I know sometimes it's scary to go out somewhere, especially in public, a public place, where there are going to be tons of people to take photos. Just stay calm and breathe, and you will get through it. After you take a few shots, you won't even notice anyone around, and you will gain so much confidence. Trust me on that. That has worked for me. Thank you for turning into the No Filter Photography Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. Thank you.